Good morning. It's February the 28th. I believe it is February the 28th, 2019, here in Little Saigon. That's correct. Such good news. It is the morning. It is barely 5 a.m., which means it's not even really 5 a.m., but it's almost 5 a.m. That's how fucking early it is. Fuck. And if you've been trying to send me messages either by email or telephone call or other forms of communication that involve the ether space and transcendental meditation, if you've been trying to send me signals through conjuring and witchcraft and voodoo, I think I kind of just, I don't know. I think I blanked out this week on the great existential rat race. I received some information last weekend that I've been thinking about a lot, maybe obsessively. It involves, I will say this, it's not a great riddle, not a great mystery. I'm not planning some murder. Oh my God, I shouldn't have said that. Now I'm on a list. Yeah, it has to do with cancer. I can tell you I do not have cancer, or at least not to my knowledge. Also, if I did, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I have no health insurance. I really don't want to put this on the people. And when I say the people, I mean my neighbors. It's not their problem if I have cancer. From my perspective, it's okay if I just, whatever. But no, it's a cancer topic. It's depressing. I do not have cancer. That's as much as I want to say. And cancer is one of those things that seems to touch a lot of families these days. And I don't think there's any, I don't know. Everyone's got their opinion. I think people handle it the best they can. It truly is tragic because it just doesn't kill people. It actually does a lot of harm before it kills people. It sort of it kind of ruins people's lives. It's expensive. It can be very painful treatment. I suppose there are cancers where the treatment isn't so bad, but from what I can tell, at least as my sister Nancy died, the treatment itself seemed kind of like a pain in the fucking ass. But they say the science of cancer has improved and we may have a cure for cancer. And if that's all true, good news. Cure for cancer, totally good news if that's the case. I have not seen it yet. It's a lot like fusion energy. There are things we are told that are going to happen soon that seem to be always 5 years away. I don't know what that means, but I got to tell you, I'm beginning to think it means something. So yes, if you've been trying to communicate with me this week, and you feel like I'm not really there, it's because I'm not. I decided to check out a bit. Gone to a happy place, I suppose, of trying to disconnect, and that's me. Not a perfect person. Not a perfect person. Far from it. I do believe God loves me, but, folks, let's just be clear on something here, okay? I do believe God loves me. I do, and I believe that God has infinite love. And if you're able to, be a little bit humble in your life, and you can let God in, I think it can help a lot. But when you reach a point where you're saying to yourself, "At least God loves me," you know that maybe no one else does. I'm kidding a little bit, but maybe not that much. No, the topic for today is going to be interesting, maybe, but I should say this morning, because I could end up doing two of these podcasts today. You never know. Sometimes I'm in the mood. I am drinking coffee, and coffee contains caffeine, and caffeine is a vasoconstrictor. So if my blood pressure peaks out and I feel creative after I've had my Schlimbus and my Gumby-I, and I've made soup of tremulous and other scrumpy that you find growing by the toilet seat, once I've consumed that swill, and had my coffee, you never know what strange ideas might occur. Before we go too far, I have to state for the record that I think philosophy is a racket. I think it's a racket. I think that it's a way to convince people to pay you to drink. I'm not saying that all philosophers are drunks. That would be untrue. But I do think that philosophy is a racket, and a lot of very lazy, corrupt people become philosophers. Of course, if you're a hobo philosopher, you're probably the only morally decent philosopher there is. The name implies a love of wisdom, but really, does philosophy mean a love of wisdom? Isn't it almost a hatred of common sense and wisdom? Philosophers will take you on trips that make no sense, and they'll leave you stranded by the side of the cognitive road, looking for a way out, looking for a path home, and all you'll have is 5 cents, your pants are pulled down half off your legs, it looks like something bad happened to you, you've been knocked out, you know, given roofies by the side of the road. That's philosophy, that's where it leaves you. In shock, in trauma, PTSD by the side of the fucking road. So philosophers are con artists, and I suppose you could say that I'm a kind of philosopher, and if that's true, I'm a kind of con artist on that level. It is a study of really metaphysical boogeymen. It is a field of interest where the focus are those weird things about being weird and alive that nobody has a good explanation for except for the philosopher. You know, do I exist? Well, why are you even asking that fucking question? Do you exist? Doesn't that seem like a strange question to ask in the first place? Do you exist? What is the meaning of life? Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. Life on Earth is filled with a lot of bullshit, and most of that bullshit is a product of human stupidity and free will. And that's what that's the meaning of life on Earth to some extent. You can do the best you can, and you can help people, and you can live a good life and have faith in God. All these things are true. And if you live a good life, you still might suffer. That's in the Bible too. I hate to break it to you, but not everything's miracle and puppies. People, it's funny. People will read the Bible very selectively, and they'll say to themselves, well, I read this gospel and these two books, and I read enough, and now I know the Bible is all about puppies and unicorns, and everybody's going to be okay. Well, you read a very small part of the Bible, I think. It's not that the Bible's all about trouble, it isn't, but there's a lot of trouble in the Bible, and there's a lot of sadness. There are actual verses called lamentations, you know, expressions of sadness is one potential definition of a lamentation, to be lamented. There's a book of lamentations, and there's also several psalms based upon what the minister showed us about sadness and anger, and often towards God. Which, if disrespectful, is still faithful, because you are, in fact, treating God at least with the respect of saying you're somebody to be pissed off at. I will say that. But yeah, the Bible isn't all about unicorns and good shit. So, anywho, lots of people claim to be philosophers, and maybe that's a racket, maybe it's con, I don't know. I know, be careful. Be careful when you meet the philosopher. I know I've said be careful when you meet the guru. Be careful when you meet the philosopher. You know, the person that comes along saying, I know, man, the secret of free will and substance and mind and consciousness and where do ideas come from and where do they go and, you know, what is the just society and what is the good life? I know all that bullshit. I'm a philosopher. And I'm drunk. And a drunk philosopher, holy fuck. That's a drink. That drink contains 50, you know, half of it is Everclear. The other half, no, half is Everclear. A quarter of it is Coca-Cola. And a quarter of it is, I don't know, maybe absinthe. And I would call that the drunk philosopher, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not Coca-Cola, maybe coffee. Yeah. 50% Everclear, 25% coffee, and another 25% absinthe. Cooked the vampire kind of way, the right way, you know, like you're Gary Oldman, and you've got the little sugar cube, absinthe, you fuck. So just be careful. If a guru says, I will take you to the land of bliss, be careful. If a philosopher says, I know the path to the land of bliss, be careful. Sometimes these people are there to help you. Sometimes they're there to harm you. Be careful. The topic, really, the core topic is not philosophy or philosophers, but the core topic has to do with the multiverse and time travel. I think these are related issues. That's why I'm bringing them up together. Now, if you may or may not know, I write a little fiction myself when I feel so inspired. It's probably mostly shit, but since I haven't had anyone kill me yet, it's probably not that bad. And I have some unfinished stuff that deals specifically with the multiverse, and because of what I believe today about it, I don't know if I'll ever finish it because it no longer makes sense to me. And when you're writing science fiction or fiction in general, you kind of have to tell a story that sort of makes sense, even if only to the author. You know, that I suppose you could say great fiction makes sense to a lot of people, bad fiction makes sense to one or two people. I don't know if that's fair, but popular fiction has to make sense to a lot of people. And I don't know. I'll probably never be very popular as a writer, but I do some writing from time to time, and I've written about issues concerning the, you know, time travel. I'm going to talk about this in a podcast at some point, but when I was 16 years old, I had my own theories of time travel. I'm sure I'm not the only teenager that's ever thought about using that trick to escape their hell. I mean, that's what it really was. It was a plan for escape. I kind of hated my life as a teenager, and I figured, what the fuck? Why not time travel? I mean, not the best idea ever, but not the worst. So yeah, you know, time travel and the multiverse. And the multiverse appeals to people, I think, because it provides for them a kind of secular deep meaning to everything, that everything can happen, will happen, everything did happen. You know, if you lost somebody, that person was found. If someone you knew died, that person might still be alive. The thing about the multiverse is anything and everything is kind of possible, and so it provides a sort of secular basis for don't worry about it, it's taken care of. And it's kind of like what pisses people off about a Christian might say, I don't think you'll ever hear me say this because I'm probably, you know, probably too much of a smartass when it comes to the liturgy, the word, yeah, the word, and what is it really? The word as religious expression, the word is worship, yeah, the liturgy, anyways. I think that things like the multiverse and time travel are appeal, but specifically the multiverse, because it does seem to be an innately positive story. For almost everybody, almost pretty much no, everybody gets a second chance, a third chance. Everybody has another version of themselves where they maybe they don't suck nearly as much. And if you think of it from the perspective of some people who say they believe in God, they'll say, well, God's the super genius and he wants to run lots of experiments in parallel. And it's like, it does appeal up to a point. You say, okay, so you're saying you believe in one God, but an infinite number of universes, and your explanation is God likes to do lots of experiments. And that's not the worst explanation. I mean, I can see a certain logic in that if that's what it was all about, if it was just about logic. The problem is that means that, you're not special. It means that if you kill yourself, it doesn't really matter because there's another version of you that won't kill itself. The point is, it's not just that it doesn't matter, but perhaps you never had a choice. Everything that can happen will happen. Which means that if you're on some timeline of causality within the multiverse, you might have no choice at all. You might simply be who you are. And I've already said this in a previous podcast, but if God, if the multiverse were really something created by God, then it would seem like God is like Wilt Chamberlain, 20,000 girlfriends. Listen, I know that it appeals to think about the multiverse and it sounds cool, but really God would be Wilt Chamberlain. Well, I did a creation here and a creation here and a creation here in this dimension in this universe, and I took my quantum dial and I dialed to the right and I did a creation there. It just really does seem like a big screwball monkey fuck. If it's a multiverse, because basically it means everything did happen, everyone is saved, and no one is saved. That's the other thing, when you think about various types of philosophy, as above, so below, no one is saved and everyone is saved. That is the thing about the multiverse. In the multiverse, no one is saved. And in the multiverse, everyone is saved. How exactly does that work out before God? It sounds like the devil. It certainly sounds like Satan is selling a message about lots and lots of universes where there's lots and lots of me. That's the kind of situation of do as thou wilt. That is it. Because yeah. So anyways, you can already see where I'm going with this because this is kind of an insight I had, and I'll admit to it while I was doing shrooms, mushrooms, mushrooms. So Think of it like a Ouija board. If you are safe with God and you use a Ouija board, yeah, you might end up talking to demons, but that's about all the bad that will happen, in my opinion, if you're safe with God. Still a really dangerous thing to do. But think of mushrooms, in my opinion, as a Ouija board taken to, several thousand levels above that. So I would never say, and as a disclaimer, go do mushrooms, and just, pretend it's like every other day. No, if you're ever doing shrooms, do it in a safe place, and ideally, it's not necessary depending upon who you are, but ideally have one person around that can act as the kind of like sober companion, so to speak. But yeah. Anyways, I had an insight while I was doing shrooms last summer that there's something spooky going on with the touch screens on smart devices when you're on shrooms, I don't think it's the multiverse. I think it's something else. I really felt a presence of evil, a darkness. And I think there is that sense in which if you kind of scrape at the layer of reality, if you scrape at it hard enough. And psychedelics do this. They kind of, in a way, for some people, there's one interpretation of psychedelics that they change you to a, they modify your perception and your consciousness in such a way that you can see the cracks. Not the cracks in God's creation, that's not what I mean. But you can see those openings through which, yes, darkness can flow. God is perfect. That doesn't mean people are perfect. God is perfect. That doesn't mean that the stuff that he uses as backdrop, as part of the theater of existence. You know, life is a stage. Well, God does all the stagecraft. He does all of the stuff you see behind the scenes, so to speak. God does the props, you know. The props and the pieces, the things that make you think you're someplace else. That is God. God might use physics. God might use particles. You know, tiny little bits and pieces of stuff that make up atoms. God might use everything and anything. Since I am not God, I tend to be agnostic on that particular piece of the magic trick. I'm open to whatever science currently says, as long as science makes a good argument. And it's based upon, you know, science. But the multiverse, even if it exists, if it did exist, in a sense, then God is really pointless. There is no God. If the multiverse were real, I don't really see the point of God, because everything can and will happen. And if you take it far enough, it's sort of like saying, well, then there's an infinite number of gods for an infinite number of people. I don't think that's true. In fact, I know it's not true. So when you think about the multiverse or time travel, and it is fun in sci-fi, I gotta say, a lot of good science fiction deals with those two issues because they're so foundational. You know, if you could travel backwards in time, you could fix something. You know, but what is the meaning of free will if you could do that? You know, one of the things I've said to people, and I said this in a podcast, is that there's this old scholastic meditation, you know, scholastic as in, you know, medieval Catholic philosophers, scholastic. And the meditation is as follows. Can God create a stone so heavy that even God cannot move it? And I don't know if I'm saying exactly the way that the scholastic would say it, but it does have to do with the ability to create something so strong or powerful that for that particular thing, it's more powerful than God. And it has no easy solution. It's a conundrum. It's a paradox. But free will is also a paradox. God created the universe. God is infinitely powerful. But God gave you the ability to make a choice, and you could choose stuff that God would not want you to do. It is actually possible to choose things that Jesus does not want you to choose. That's free will. It's scary. And in that sense, God did create something so heavy that God could not pick it up. It also means that there's a lot of stuff out there that you could call ordinary everyday temptation, and that's the temptation to have a beer when you shouldn't, to, you know, do stuff you shouldn't do. I suffer temptation. I'm not a perfect person. You know, there's everyday temptation. And then there's these other forms of temptation that I don't think are every day, and they don't happen all the time. But they do happen. I think I've had a few of those experiences. They weren't very attractive to me. They didn't suck me in, but were they there? Yeah. It is a temptation to believe that there's stuff going on like the multiverse. And you have to be careful. You know, I think that if you're, you know, for example, if you're in the right state of consciousness and you're messing with a touchscreen, I think touchscreens are so sensitive that yes, in theory, they might allow you to touch something else. Now that is not good science. Everything I just said is really poor science. It might even be shitty philosophy. But I actually believe that's true. I cannot prove it. I thought about getting some help to videotape something like this, but it's weird. The things I've seen in that state of consciousness, you know, on shrooms with touchscreens, is freaky. And it's something that I'm of the mind I want to revisit at some point. If only to prove to myself that it's all in my head. But even if I proved it was in my head, it would still be freaky. I don't know what to tell you. I think that the multiverse and time travel gets sold because for people who are secular, for people who don't believe in God, or I should say atheists, for people who are actually atheists, time travel and the multiverse feel like a kind of, well, general meaningful connectedness. Like, yeah, the universe makes sense and everything does kind of make sense. We are all saved and we are all doomed. That makes sense to the atheist. Anywho, this is a weird topic for the morning, and I feel like I should close it out. Like I said, you should never trust a philosopher. Certainly do not trust a drunken philosopher. Do not trust a drunken philosopher that spent all day drinking the drink called the drunken philosopher. That's probably one or two philosophers too much. And beyond that, I hope I get paid by the IRS. If you're out there, IRS, I know you're just one little organelle, one little part of the great supercell called the crocodile, and I know the crocodile does not care. I know this. But please, crocodile, shit out a check for me via that digital universe so that I can pay for rent. And beyond that, I hope you have a great day until we talk again, right?